It's 1935, November 24th. O Holy Trinity, in whom is contained the inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, eternal joy, inconceivable depth of love, poured out upon all creatures and constituting their happiness, honor, and glory to your holy name forever and ever. Amen. When I consider your greatness and beauty, O my God, I rejoice exceedingly that the Lord I serve is so great. With love and joy, I carry out his will. And the more I come to know him, the more I decide to love him. If we don't love the Lord very much, because we don't know him very much. I burn with the desire to love him ever more and more. The 14th, that's November. This Thursday, when we were having nocturnal adoration, at first I could not pray. A sort of dryness engulfed me. I could not meditate on Jesus' sorrowful passion. So I lay prostrate and offered the most sorrowful passion of the Lord Jesus to the Heavenly Father in reparation for the sins of all the world. When I got to my feet and after this prayer and walked to my lila, I suddenly saw Jesus next to it. The Lord Jesus appeared as he was during scourging. In his hands, he was holding a white garment with which he clothed me and a cord with which he girded me. And he comforted me with a red cloak, like the one he was clothed with during his passion, and a veil of the same color, and he said to me, "This is how you and your companions are going to be clothed. My life from birth to death on the cross will be the rule for you. Fix your eyes upon me and live according to what you see. I decide that you penetrate into my spirit more deeply and understand that I am meek and humble of heart." He suffered. He never complained. He accepted offering. So we learn from Jesus the way he lived his passion. But many times so many grudgings, so many unfair things happen to us. Our daily work. Learn from Jesus. That you penetrate into my spirit more deeply and understand that I am meek and humble of heart. On one occasion, I felt an urge to set to work and fulfill whatever God is demanding of me. I entered the chapel for a moment and heard a voice in my soul saying, "Why are you afraid? Do you think that I would not have enough of omnipotence to support you?" So, God is powerful, no? But sometimes we can feel that he's helping us. That's why we are afraid. So Jesus asks, "Why are you afraid? Am I not with you? Am I not helping you?" But you might say, "Well, Lord, where are you? We didn't feel you only have. Whatever we pray, you seem not hearing. You didn't hear anything." At that moment, my soul felt extraordinary strength in all the adversities that could before me. Incurring out God's will seemed as nothing to me. So at times, the temptations over there, especially for those people who would like to live well, the spirit of service, the spirit of humility, but that's the time the devil comes in and says, "Why you do this?" No. On Friday, during Holy Mass, when my soul was flooded with God's happiness, I heard these words in my soul: "My mercy has passed into souls through the divine human heart of Jesus as a ray from the sun passes through crystal." I felt in my heart and understood that every approach to God is brought about by Jesus in him and through him. Through divine mercy, the Sacred Heart ignites speak to our heart. On the evening of the last day, November 15, of the novena at the Ostra Brahma, after the singing of the litany, one of the priests exposed the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. When he placed it on the altar, I immediately saw the infant Jesus stretching out his little arms, first of all towards his mother, who at that time had taken on a living appearance. When the Mother of God was speaking to me, Jesus stretched out his tiny hands towards the congregation. The Blessed Mother was telling me to accept all that God asked of me like a little child, without questioning. Otherwise, it would not be pleasing to God. Don't ask any question, why? Why have you suffered so much? Why is no solution yet? Just say the yes to the will of God. Simple heart. At that moment, the infant Jesus vanished, and the Mother of God was again lifeless, and the picture was the same as it had been before. But my soul was filled with great joy and gladness, and I said to the Lord, "Do with me as you please. I am ready for everything. But you, O Lord, must not abandon me even for a moment." So tell Jesus the same way you do, as if we see nothing. You know, just a moment. The inspiration, the tell Jesus, you know, with the same heart, same mind, to the glory of the Holy Trinity. I asked Mother Superior to permit me to make a 40-day fast, taking once a day a piece of bread and a glass of water. However, following the advice of my confessor, Mother Superior did not agree to 40 days, but to 7. She said, "I cannot take you away from your duties." It seems we read already last week, isn't it? We heard already. How come? Oh, sorry. It's so new, eh? Yeah, it come to. Yeah, it's already last week we have read. Now we start this week. That she is mentioning about the future congregation, the rules. Now it's about work. As poor persons, the nuns themselves will not do all the work in the convent. Each one should be glad when she is given some work which is humbling or which goes against her nature, as that will greatly help her interiority formation. The superior will often change the sister's duties and in this way help them to detach themselves completely from the little details to which women have a great attachment. Is it true? We used to detach some little things. That's why they shift the duty very often, so no attachment. Maybe she like to have a gardening, and would the whole life just in a garden, of course. But someone doesn't like to go in the kitchen, and then, you know, shift. Truly, I often find it amusing to see with my own eyes souls who have forsaken really great things only to attach themselves to fiddle-faddle, that is, trifles. Each sister, including even the superior, shall work in the kitchen for a moment, for a month. That means not a good job. Just for a month. It's a penance. Everyone should take a turn at every choice, at every core which is to be done in the convent. And always, and in everything, the intention should be pure, for every sort of mixed motive is displeasing to God. Pure motive, just to love, even for you, not only for sisters. Pure intention, that means with the love of God to serve, no matter what job you are doing that moment, as if Jesus is working in your place. Or you work in the play of Jesus to serve the world. The same spirit. And always, in everything, The intention should be pure, for every sort of mixed motive is displeasing to God. That should accuse themselves of all external transgressions and ask the superior for penance. They should do this in a spirit of humility. If we did something wrong, ask the superior and do some penance. They should love one another with a sublime love, with a pure love, seeing God's likeness in every sister. That means to say, not all the sister looks lovely. Not every brother and sister is lovely. But you have to look at them with the eyes of Jesus. In the eyes of Jesus, all people are lovable. We choose, but Jesus never chooses. Does come, does not. And we choose. You choose our own little group. You choose over there. You choose sitting here, not next to her. And that. We choose your friends. It's human. That's why many times when we're invited to a banquet, many times people doesn't want to go because they say, well, I don't know anybody. Just only two of us. Why you go to the play the table of 12 and everybody doesn't know one another? You know, that's love should be the special characteristics of this little community. So they must be close up their hearts, but embrace the whole world, rendering mercy to every soul through prayer, according to the calling. If we live in the spirit of mercy, we ourselves will obtain mercy. If you live with mercy, you will attain mercy. If you are merciless, what you will obtain? Merciless. Nothing. Because you don't love. How great should each one's love for the church be? As a good child, pray for the mother he loves. So also should every Christian should pray for the church, its mother. What then should be said of us religious who have especially committed ourselves to praying for the church? How great then is our apostolic, hidden though to be, all the little daily nothings will place at the feet of the Lord Jesus as a propitiatory offering for the world. But in order that our offering may be pleasing to God, it must be pure. And for it to be pure, the heart must be freed from all natural attachments, and all its affections must be directed towards the Creator, loving all creatures in Him and according to His will. And acting thus, it will, with zealous spirit, will bring joy to the church. So we need one big family for the church. Although you are not in a common, but when you live in a church, for the church, when you live for Jesus, it's for the church. So have a bigger heart, have an apostolic heart. Not just, oh, I'm nothing, do little things, even trifle things. Work with love, and that's how you be united with the Lord, united with the church. You are doing missionary work. Although you are not a missionary, but you're doing missionary work. Do you agree? Yeah, many times your boss, they are not Christians. They don't know God. But you have. So you bring Jesus in the family. You are the living tabernacle. You have Jesus in you. Stay with Jesus so that wherever you go, we are a living tabernacle, in the, especially the place where you're working, in the family. Joyful. Although the world is hard, joyful. With Jesus, pure intention, pure. Not for your own likeness, but for the great, the greater glory of greater light of greater mercy, no, but majorum Dei Gloria, for the greater glory of God. the Ignatius motto, no? The greater glory of God. Whatever you do, just for his sake. In addition to the vows, I see one rule as most important. Although all the rules are important, I put this one in the first place. And it is, what do you think? What's the most important for? Can you guess? Many rules in the common room. There's one rule, primary rule, very important. What do you think?
Silence.
Yeah. You listen, eh? Because last time also mentioned silence. Silence of heart. It is silence. Truly it is, if this rule were to be observed strictly, I would not worry about the others. Women are very fond of talking. But the Holy Spirit does not speak to a soul that is distracted and groulous. He speaks by his quiet inspiration to a soul that is recollected. So you don't hear any inspiration from the Holy Spirit because you're too busy, too distracted. If silence were strictly observed, there would not be any grumbling, bitterness, slandering, or gossip, and charity would not be tarnished. In a word, many wrongs would not be done. The letter of there's a letter all these days, this morning, is reading James, the letter of James, no? Our little tongue, always the smallest one, but that makes worse things in the world, through your tongue. Yeah, your gossips. In a word, many wrong things will not be done. Silent lips are pure gold, embedded to the holiness within. Silent lips. Silent lips. It's a golden rule for Sister Faustina to set the rule. Today, try to, you know, many times before Mass, like marketplace in our church. If not, at the telephone, tuk, 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 tuk. Silent, but tuk, 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 tuk. Communicating with the outside world, with the worldly world. When you come to church, raise your heart. Nothing. There's no silence. Although you silence, but your heart is not silent. You're judging me, you're not silent. Don't judge me. If you judge me, you're thinking, you're not silent. Silence means silence, nothing. The sea is silent, flat. With all these waves, that means you're not silent. Sometime, huh? But I want to speak in matters of a second rule, that is, what? That is speech. The first rule, silence. Now, about speech. When and how you speak is important. Keep silent when one ought to speak is an imperfection and sometimes even a sin. When you know something wrong, your silence is uncharitable. You are not laughing. you just keep yourself safe. Because whatever you tell people, something they're doing wrong, you might be hurt, right? If you want to save yourself, that's not silent. That's a sin. You see? Don't just keep that rule silent. So, okay, make sure. If we kill people, I don't care, I don't see. No. If somebody, a child, going out, running out to the road, in the middle of the road, silent. Can you do that? You shouldn't. That's not silent. And so let all the sisters take part in recreation, and the superior should not dispense them from this, except for a matter of great importance. Recreation is an opportunity for getting to know one another. Let each sister speak her mind in all simplicity for the edification of the others, and not in spirit of superiority or, God forbid, in a quarrelsome manner. When your creation time is not to speak gossips, but the sister. Yes. Open your hearts, open your mind to one another. That's a recreation. Your soul. Open your soul is recreation. God forbid, in a quarrelsome manner, for that will not be in keeping with perfection and the spirit of our vocation, which should be especially characterized by love. Twice a day there will be a recreation of 1.5 hour. But if a sister breaks silence outside that time, she must accuse herself before the superior at once and ask for a penance, and the superior should punish these offenses with public penances, or else she will answer for this before the Lord. Wow, goodness. I don't know how you punish someone. Sister, sorry, I spoke. You stand there before in the corridor, everybody look at you for 1 minute, for half an hour. It's a military training. Eh? In the military, they do that. Eh? Whatever you do wrong, stand there, straight, for 1 hour or 3 hours. Enclosure. No one may enter the enclosure without the special permission of the ordinary and under very special circumstances, such as the administration of the sacraments to the youth, in order to prepare them for death and for the burial rites. There also may be need of letting in a workman to do some repairs. Before this, a specific permission may be required. The door to the enclosure will all be snuffed, and only the superior will have the key. Now today it might be not functioning because the rule of the fire escape, no? You cannot keep all the doors locked. If the superior, you should find it, and they'll probably keep in the house. That's for joking. The use of the parlor. None of the sisters will make use of the parlor without special permission of the superior, and the superior should not be permitted frequent visits. Those who have died to the world should not be going back to it, nor even through conversation. But if the superior thinks it is right to permit some sister to go to the parlor, let her observe the following directions. She herself should accompany the sisters, and if she cannot do so, she should arrange to be replaced by sister who will be bound to confidence and must be repeat what she has heard. Sister Angie, what's a parlor? Parlor. Parlor. P-A-R-L-O-U-R. P-A-R-L-O-U-R. Parlor. P-A-R. Parlor. What's a place in the common?
It's like the visiting area. When
the rooms for visitors come, okay. So the decoration is different. For the host, no? For the guests.
Yes.
So do you think your sister should now stay there and enjoy night and there? She said, no. Even you go two sisters together. No. Do you have these rules? No, you don't.
Before.
Really? Wow.
But now it's...
Of course, your house is so big.
No,
crossing all the time, crossing your parlor, so you cannot stop.
Yeah,
Now, conversations ought to be short unless there's a permission for extra time for the sake of the person who has come for the visits. However, the curtain is not to be drawn aside except for every special cases, as for example, when a mother or father urgently asks that this be done. So if a parent wants to see a daughter, and no, look, you cannot see, and needs to see, how are you now? Letters. Okay, for next time. It's not, it's a little things, it might be not necessary. For confessions next time, for Holy Communion, it's beautiful. So then how she think about confession and about Holy Communion, how to get to set the rules, how to receive communion. No, it's nice, eh? To help us to grow in a spiritual life. Do you like this?